You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. With the clock ticking down on the presidential campaign, Michigan, with its 16 electoral votes, is in the spotlight. The candidates and their surrogates are virtually tripping over each other, crisscrossing the state. Wednesday brought Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr., former President Bill Clinton, and Bernie Sanders. Today, Ivanka Trump is in Rochester, Governor Mike Pence campaigning in Portage. Tomorrow, more rallies. First, Pence in Lansing, and then Hillary Clinton in Detroit's Eastern Market as Eric Trump works his way through Michigan. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House believes all this activity proves the mitten is in play. Daniel, these are very precious final days. We even had Donald Trump here earlier in the week. Why so much attention from both sides?
Because Hillary's numbers are tanking. According to the Mitchell poll, she's lost 10 points in the last 12 days in Michigan. And I think the other thing that they're very concerned about is that they don't detect enthusiasm among the African-American community in Detroit that they've seen certainly in the last two cycles with President Obama. There's been a lot of anecdotal media coverage around the country talking to various black leaders who are essentially confirming that and saying that Hillary has not connected with the African-American community the way that the president did, and alleging essentially that they've taken them for granted. And I think the real concern here, and I think that's why you're seeing a lot of Trump campaign people here as well, is I think they're trying to essentially enthuse the Republican base to take advantage of the lack of enthusiasm in the Democratic base, particularly in places like Detroit.
When you stop and you know, as you point out in your column, the Republican presidential candidate hasn't won this state since George H.W. Bush did it in 88. Mm-hmm. You think it should be a no-brainer. And Donald Trump has not missed a chance to slam Ford Motor Company about jobs and trades and kind of without naming him, Governor Snyder, for the Flint water crisis. Mm-hmm. So, and as you point out, he's getting a lot of that wrong.
Yeah, and he's also trashed the Michigan manufacturing rebound and distorted it. You would think on paper that this would be a Democratic year in Michigan. I think what's interesting here is Michigan going to decide this thing? Don't know. But if, in fact, these numbers suggest that she is losing ground here, I think you then have to ask the question, is she going to be losing ground in similar states? Polling seems to show that Trump is up in Ohio. That would be considered a similar state, clearly. I think in Pennsylvania, she's holding on to a lead there, and I think most people think she's going to hold on to Pennsylvania. But, I mean, if you're Donald Trump and you can pick up Ohio and Michigan and maybe win Florida, I mean, that changes the calculus an awful lot for her. So I think that's why you see her heaviest of heavyweights, with the exception so far of President Obama, coming into the state. If you see him come in here over the weekend and come to Detroit, I think that would be a real sign that they're very concerned that they're losing traction.
Mm. It is interesting to think that the Reagan Democrats, particularly strong in Macomb County, are really at the forefront.
Well, I think there's a belief that they could be. And, you know, my sense is that some of the issues that resonate with that's a kind of a caricature, obviously, but that resonate with those kinds of folks are some of the things that Donald Trump has been hammering on for months. The economic nationalism, the anti-trade, those viewpoints have always been popular among rank and file. They've been popular because I think a lot of the problems of the auto industry, the Detroit-based auto industry, have been blamed in a lot of ways on trade. And I would argue that a lot of that's not accurate, that a lot of the troubles that the industry had and the car companies here in Detroit had were problems of their own making for many, many years. Mediocre products, huge debt loads, uncompetitive labor practices. But that's all now in a rearview mirror. But I think those arguments still resonate, and that's why I think Trump feels he's at least got a shot.
And as you and I talked about on this show a week or two ago, that kind of argument that we're bringing jobs back isn't realistic in a sense. That's, as you say, a Jimmy Carter-era argument applied to the Google and autonomous car era.
Yeah, and I think that they've just both these candidates are pretty fundamentally dishonest with a lot of average working folks and seem to suggest that they can go back to the 70s all over again. And the reality is that's not going to happen. We live in a global economy. We live in a very fast-changing, tech-driven economy as well. And I think the biggest fear is that the techification of so much of our society and of our economy threatens to leave a lot of people behind that don't have the right skills. And the people who have the skills and the flexibility are going to be the people who are going to be on the winning end, and those who don't are going to be more or less on the losing end.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.